The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This episode of the Steve Austin Show is sponsored in part by DDP Yoga. Hey man, working hundreds of matches over the years, ain't no surprise that my body's taking its share of bumps and bruises. My buddy Diamond Dallas Page knows all about this wear and tear the ring takes on your body, and his DDP Yoga fitness system was specifically designed to burn fat, reduce pain, and heal from injuries. Dallas is so positive that you'll absolutely love the DDPY program and using the DDPY app that he's doing something he ain't ever done before. He's going to give you 7 days free to try it out. That's a week to try the program. Explore the app and own your life, and it's completely free. The DDP Yoga Now app has everything. It tracks your weight, all your workouts, how many calories you burned, and Dallas himself sets you up for weekly success by giving you an easy schedule to follow that includes his tips for success. If you're more old school and prefer DVDs over the DDPY app, they got the DVDs too. But when you buy the DVDs, you still receive 3 months free on the DDPY app to try it out. Just listen to the Steve Austin Show. You can save 20% off an annual membership for the DDP Yoga Now app of any DVD pack. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin and get started. Don't forget to take advantage of the free 7-day trial on the DDPY app so you can see for yourself everything this app has to offer. You'll be amazed how much better you'll feel after only 7 days with the program. So what are you doing? Stop wasting time and download the DDP Yoga Now app. And make this year the year you get serious about your health and get fit. Let DDP Yoga Now help you set your goals, take control, and own your life.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California. Today, I'm sitting over here at 317 Gimmick Street, where just yesterday, across the table from me, was sitting my old roommate, travel partner, longtime friend, Diamond Dallas Page. Page is in town taking care of a little bit of business, came by the crib, and man, we just sat down and shot the shit and caught up with each other. It's good seeing Dallas. Man, I can't believe it's been 15 years since I moved out here to Los Angeles, California, when I started, started over living with Dallas in Playa Vista over in his condo. Boy, I tell you what, man, you talk about the odd couple. I was a slob and he was the OCD neat freak. And every single morning when I got up to go downstairs to brew my pot of coffee so that I could function as a normal human being, there was Dallas working on his DDPY program, or what would become his DDPY program. And it's good to catch up with Dallas. Good to see him. Hey, man, I got a book in the mail the other day from my old stunt double, Paul Lazenby, over in Vancouver, British Columbia. At Mahler MMA is his Twitter handle. And he sent me the book, the Brian Pillman book, Crazy Like a Fox. And I'm about just getting through some pages of it. And it's been a pretty fascinating read. And it brought back a lot of memories and stuff that I'd completely forgotten about. Lots of good stories in there from Dave Meltzer, who is pretty close to Brian, Mark Madden. Really, really good book so far. I'll let you know what happens when I finish with it. But right now, I'm trying to get through with Dr. D. David Schultz's book. That's first and foremost on my list, so I can have Dr. D. on the show. Hopefully we'll get to him in about a week or two. And I got Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles coming on the podcast here in a couple days or a week. I got in-laws coming into town. We're going to go visit Nevada. So I got all kinds of shit going on, but I'm really enjoying the Pillman book. I'm really enjoying the Dr. D. David Schultz books, the wrestling stories, the hard times, man, that the business was back in the day. You had to be, a pretty tough son of a bitch back in the day for a shoot to get in the business of pro wrestling. I'm enjoying David Schultz's book. He's going to be on a podcast here as soon as I finish the damn thing. Y'all know how I am. I can't read worth a damn, but I'm doing my best to put my best foot forward. And in reading that Brian Pillman book, it took me back to the 10-man tag match at the Calgary In Your House pay-per-view, and I just got finished watching that 3 times. Holy shit, that was an outstanding night at the office. That was so much fun, and everybody had so much fun. That house, the stars of that show was the people in the crowd. Man, they were so damn badass and loud. It was unbelievable. all the chemistry, watching Brian firing all cylinders, just being nasty, devious, cheating, spitting. And the crowd ate it up, watching the hero, Bret the Hitman Hart, Owen, man, Davey Boy, Jim, and all the guys on our side. But, man, what a night at the office. I'd forgotten so much of that stuff. I know I did a podcast on it about a year ago, but, man, that is the stuff. And you know what? One of the cool things was to read about how much I was reading some comments about that match, and to read how much Jim Cornette enjoyed that match. I guess he was part of the writing team or booking team at that point. And he would watch a little bit on the monitor, and then he'd go out and kind of watch it from the house and go back and forth. And he goes, man, that's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It was like an old-school NWA match, the way that crowd was so involved. So, man, when Jim Cornette comments on something like that, as long as he's been around, everything that he's seen and done, you know, Jim knows his shit. So that was a pretty good compliment coming from him, and I appreciated it. And it was, man. It was just absolutely electric. And if you get a chance, I know I done told you to watch this match a long time ago, but I just got finished watching it again, back to back to back, three times, just like I did Steamboat Savage. And just like that thing blew me away again for another time. But anyway, I'm going to stop rambling. I got to head into town and run some errands and do some shit. This is just a shooting the breeze conversation with DDP. We're talking about anything and everything. And, right at the end of the podcast, I told Dallas, this was a shoot too, just organically came up. Dallas had been trying to get me to try the DDPY program for a long time. So I tell him at the end of the podcast, I said, hey man, come back and, sign me up on this app as soon as we shut down the microphones. Well, he had to go, get his massage tissue work or whatever it was. And then he was going to come back about 5:36. I started feeling like shit, so we blew it off. But I'm going to give the system a try. Yours truly is going to give the DDPY system a try. Because I was sitting around the other day. Goddamn, I ain't got no flexibility whatsoever. So I figured, dude, what in the flying hell do you have to lose? Nothing. It's a badass workout. I get that. When I hear Jericho and all those other guys sing its praises and what it's done for them, and man, those are guys that I highly respect. So I imagine they know what they're talking about. So yours truly is going to find out for himself. I'm going to get my downward dog on DDPY style. And that's the bottom line. Before I get to Dallas, I want to tell you guys about SeatGeek. You see, buying tickets to sporting events and concerts can be complicated. It can be confusing, and well, hell, it can be frustrating. Well, why don't you get hip to SeatGeek? SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're planning a night out or checking out a last-minute event, it don't matter. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket-buying experience easier than ever, saving you time and money by comparing prices and finding amazing deals. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I'll tell you what, it makes shopping for tickets a breeze. So say hell yeah, and make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners of the Steve Austin Show get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Austin. That's promo code Austin for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase now.
Hey everyone, I'm Wade Keller, and it's WrestleMania season. So be sure to subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast here at Podcast One. I produce two new shows each week. Every Thursday on our flagship show, I'm joined by a co-host from the wrestling journalism field to talk about the hot topics in WWE and elsewhere. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck, talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did. And I was frank with him. And I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as the perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA way to WWE.
I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say that this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
All right, everybody, I'm Roland Sand over in 317 Gimmick Street. Diamond Dallas Page has dropped in unannounced. My black lab, Callie, is a pain in the ass. She's bothering the hell out of me. She's making racket, but nonetheless, Dallas Page is in town. Dude, what are you doing here?
I can't talk about the project yet because they're going to let it out in pieces, but it's something that they're shooting for Amazon, and it's a series. It's kind of like, you know, the Breakfast Club, meaning like, you know, young group of people, you know, meets Walking Dead, meets Mad Max. It's, you know, apocalyptic. And I come in around the 6th episode. There's a total of 8. And it's actually pretty entertaining, you know, the concept is. So I'm excited to see, you know, as it plays out. And I got to come out to LA and see you and just knock on your door like, yo, get up.
God dang, you gave me a call while ago. I said, hey, man, I'm in town. And I was across town running some errands. I said, well, shit, man, I'll be home in a little bit. I'll do a podcast. Yeah. Buzz you in the gate, and here you are. Did you still like doing the movies?
Yeah, I really do. Like,
the whole process is just a pain in the ass to me, hitting your marks, going through the blocking. Memorization over and over and over again. Your coverage, their coverage, wide coverage, close coverage. You know, uncle. I mean, that's my take.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Well, you know, I came down here, and you work with Howard Fine. Howard Fine's, you know, he's the actor's acting coach here in town. And I got to learn from him, and I went through the whole process at a schooling part. You didn't do that. I went, like, literally through it.
Dude, and I remember when you was going all them classes. You were really paying your dues.
Yeah, and it reminded me of going to, you know, power plant, yeah. You know? And I really set a goal for myself because I realized when I got out here to Hollywood, you know, I'm 46 at the time. And I realized, you know, after my, you know, next 8 meetings with managers, agents, etc. No one's going to say no, but no one's really going to take a chance on the 46, 47, 48-year-old actor. That's when I started focusing everything on DDP Yoga. I said, I'm going to blow that up. I had a dream. I had a vision. You were there for the whole thing, you know, and then I was going to get over in a spot where people can see, like, just recreate who I am. You know, it's still the same guy, just because I've always been helping people. You know that. But the whole time I've been working on this acting thing. And there was one agent. There was an agent. It was a producer. I'll never forget it. His name was John, and he produced a bunch of things, you know. And he said, so let me get – he knew my career. And I think the guy, you know how it is. They just want to meet you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I'll take any meeting along that line, especially if they've done something in their life, especially with something that I want to try to do. So he says to me, he goes, you know, Dallas, your career, man, you know, you caught lightning in a bottle, bro. You know, like 35 years old, your career takes off at 40. I mean, to have the run you had, he goes, that's lightning in a bottle. And now you think you're going to come back here in this town? And recreate that.
And you're post-prime. Way post-prime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you ain't even in your prime as far as getting acting chops.
Right. So, but he says that to me. And he said, that's going to be really next to impossible. And I said, well, John, I'll have to disagree with you. And he said,
positively, Paige.
He said, really? So why would you say that? And I said, because I know how I did it the first time. Einstein once said, it's not that I'm so smart. I just stick with the problem longer. And if you look at anyone who's really been successful at anything, like, you know, did I send you Relentless yet? Did I send it to you?
No, you keep talking about it. Jesus Christ, bragging about this damn movie, and you didn't send it to me.
Well, it's, you know, it picks up where, you know, I blow my back out. And my career's over. and then how I turned that around, and then where we are today with the whole DDP Yoga thing. So it's super inspirational. And we got youth. I appreciate you coming on there and saying what you felt about the whole journey, because you were there, you know, right from pretty much the beginning of it. And, you know, so Relentless is our next documentary. And we're not finished with yet. You know Nathan mm-hmm. Mowry, yeah. who also directed Jericho's Judas, which is
that was a good video. And it was a good song too.
It's a great song, man.
It's one of our best.
And he did that at the DDP Yoga Performance Center. You know, and that's one of the things you'll see that in Relentless, because it's not just the place that we work out or run our company. We do a lot of things there. And Nathan actually directed that video for Chris. And then he actually went on and did another one for Chris. And now, by the way, the one that he did at the Performance Center was like 16 million views right now on YouTube. Now, Facebook, you can get a lot of, you know, a lot of views because it gets shared so much. On YouTube, you got to really work it. You know, it's not like it was, you know, 5-6 years ago. You got to really work it to get that kind of attention, and music actually does. So he did that, and then he did something for Chris where he was he's doing some documentary Jericho is now, and he brought in Nathan to actually do it with him. So bottom line is, back to the acting part, so Relentless, you know, like that's how I am, and you know that with everything. And one of the reasons I do the stuff that I do, especially whether it was DDP Yoga, my wrestling, my acting, it's, I want people to understand that you really can do this. Now, does it take a lot of time, a lot of work ethic, and being relentless? Yes. So, you know, I got a few things that are going to come out this year, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. You know, it's not something I sit around waiting for. I'm doing a whole bunch of other stuff, and this stuff kind of comes to me now.
Now, I remember a couple of years ago, well, it's been several years now, you've been back in Atlanta, but when I came out here 14 years ago, I was living with you in your crib in Playa Vista, which mm-hmm. is 3 miles from where we're at right now. And so now when you come back, you know, you've been back down in Atlanta, that's kind of your old stomping grounds to sure. begin with. I'd come out of Florida, Atlanta, that area. Now you're back out here. What are the sights and sounds of the traffic situation? Atlanta's a major metroplex area anyway. Any good memories, bad memories?
Going
idiots
by,
in traffic?
I hate driving.
You
here.
See these damn things called birds? The scooters on a stick? It's a board, and it's got a handlebar on it, and it's electric.
On the highway?
No, on the streets and stuff like no. that. Yeah, it's about this tall.
I've seen them all over the road, though.
Oh, dude. Oh, hang around enough, you'll see them. These little bastards are riding around everywhere. I saw a couple of them today. But anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. The things with the big wheels and shit?
No, not the big wheels. They're just, it's a vertical inline. It's a board. It's like a skateboard with right. a stick on top of with a handlebar.
Okay.
Oh, you'll see them. Yeah, see them. So anyway.
Did you wipe out a few on the way here today?
No. But I mean, just they're everywhere. It's a pain in the ass. So I'm on underground parking today. I'm running errands. This is a Honda Civic. Nice little Honda Civic. It's a compact car. You see how far that car stuck out? Right there. That's the front of the car. That's right. 5 feet, Dallas, from the curb. I'm driving a Yukon XL, basically a Suburban, okay?
Right. That's huge.
Yeah. For L.A., it's huge. And this stupid son of a bitch is parked damn near, you know, in the road, I mean, in the aisleway where you drive your car down. So these people out here is just driving me crazy because no one out here knows.
Steve just showed me about 19 pictures of people who park like hell.
No, that was the same car. And then here's a picture of the dude in the skinny jeans that are pulled down there halfway below his asshole. Dude's about 6'3", weighs about 150, and he's got the skinny jeans on with the white shoes on, and his pants about to fall off his ass. I don't understand that.
I don't
Can you
it.
Please break that down for
no,
me?
No, I can't. When I went by, and this has been going on for a long time now.
Oh, I know.
I was going by, I was in the Grove, and I can't remember what that one, Abercrombie & Fitch, and they actually were selling pants that had like boxer short underwear sewn into the jeans. So the jeans, like 4 inches down, could hang and they could tie up their boxers, I guess. Like, I was like, what the fuck is that? I don't even, you know.
Dude's at the car wash. This is a while back. I was getting the Ford Focus out there in the driveway detailed. It was so dirty.
That's a good car, the Ford Focus.
It's right there. Look at it. I'll sell it to you for $10,000. 65,000 original miles. The thing lasts forever. Anyway, I was getting it detailed. Dude comes in. He's going to get his car dropped off, get the oil changed. He got them skinny jeans on. He's pulling his pants up. How long are you going? It's like a dude had some jack. He's, you know, had some money. He's right. Pulling his pants up. Bends over, pulls his pants up. Walk around, pulls his pants up. I just want to ask him. I said, dude, what in the flying F are you wearing them pants for if you got to pull them up every time you do something? It does not make sense to me, Dallas.
I don't get
it. So I took a picture of the dude walking with the skinny pants on. If you wear skinny pants and you listen to this show, I would really love for you to shoot me an email at questions@steveaustinshow.com and tell me why you wear them and what you get out of it. Because they look uncomfortable as hell. Here's the last thing I want. I wear regular jeans, Levi's or whatever. Regular waistline, regular waistband. I pull them up just like they're supposed to be pulled. Sometimes I got to wear a belt. When I do get a pair of pants that's too big in the waist and they start falling down, it pisses me off because I don't want my pants to fall off.
Right,
especially
right.
If I got to go run, haul ass, do something athletic, whatever. I don't want to be pulling my shit up. And so that's what these people do. And I don't think it's
how do you really feel?
I don't think it's an attractive look.
How do you really feel about it? How do you really feel about it?
I think it's bullshit is what it is. I don't know what happened. Who in the fashion industry just decided, hey man, here's what I'm gonna do. Sounds crazy, but I think it's gonna work. I'm gonna make some two legs, I'm gonna make them just skinny as hell, and then I'll make a low cut waistline so half your ass sticks out. It doesn't make sense to me.
They did it to sweats, too, which really pissed me off because I like baggy sweats. You know, and everything's like these skinny leg jeans. I'm like, I already got skinny legs. I don't need skinny leg jeans to beat.
That don't work for me. That just pisses me off. Well, I mean, so anyway, enough about me. I took a bunch of pictures of this Honda Accord because, dude, I'm driving around this damn parking garage in a suburban-type vehicle. And, you know, you can't park nowhere. And then this stupid motherfucker is parked way out there where you drive your cars, you know, round and right. Around the circle till you find a spot. And this stupid son of a bitch is parked right out in the middle of it. Couldn't even pull up to the damn parking curb. How bad is your depth perception? Every now and then when we go over to the store we shop at, Underground Parking, if I make a bad approach angle, when I get out, I'll say, hey, man, F that. Let me back out and repark my shit so at least I'm within the line structure. Because I take a little bit of pride right. In how I park. Nobody gives a shit. There's no etiquette. There's no manners. Nobody gives a flying fuck.
I think that guy's waiting to get hit so he can probably sue somebody.
But nobody in the car. I was just sitting there. I'm just befuddled at how stupid people are. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's one. So, and does this bring back memories from you? Does it? Am I the only one that perseverates over shit like this?
I talk to my wife, and I mean, I just go right to, I hate this effing town. And I hate it because of the traffic. Like, if you could be, as you know, you could be most places in 20 minutes from here. 20 minutes. But you can't because it could take you 3 hours. And then you got like that. Like we talked about, like when I checked out, like I'm staying at the Marriott right now because I want to be right down the road from LAX. The last time I was stupid and I stayed in Hollywood and then I had a 9 o'clock flight. So I was like, I tried to change it to 6 o'clock, but everything was sold out because I had to get up at 5 o'clock to get over there anyway. Yeah, I hate it, dude.
Dude, you can't be a mark for Hollywood. If you got to go do business, Hollywood, go do business. But if you got to go fly, you got to stay close to the airport.
That's a fact. I will never do that again. And, you know, I just forgot because I was out of here for a long time. Well, I'll tell you what's really blown me away, dude. And have you ever driven around where we used to live in Playa Vista?
Yeah.
That shit's blown sky high. I mean, it's filled up with everything. YouTube's back there and... I guess
oh, dude,
Google.
They got a YouTube studio over there. They got a Whole Foods over there. You go into that Whole Foods, and you can get about 12 different beers, quality beers on draft. I don't know why they don't have Broken Skull IPA on draft, but, I mean, they have all kinds of badass. You can go into the damn grocery store. You ain't even got to go out on the dating scene. You could go to the Whole Foods and find a date.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I mean, it's super nice. It's what a compound. And that whole area where we used to live,
right.
Your crib, I was living with you. I mean, it's you don't need to leave the compound. Cleaner, Whole Foods, there's beer, there's restaurants. It's badass.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that damn story when you bought that damn gas grill at Home Depot. And the crib is about a mile and a half from Home Depot. And see you pushing that damn grill on the side of the road. Diamond Dallas Page, a global icon and a national treasure in his own right. And you're pushing that thing like it was nobody's business.
I was so excited because I'm going to be able to grill some, put some, you know, some shit on the grill. And I couldn't have a car big enough. I have a car. What am I gonna
do? You had that damn Mercedes SUV. Right. That thing was a cool looking vehicle, but I ain't got no space in the damn thing to put a gas grill. And you're smart. You got the one that was already assembled. You
exactly.
went in the box and put the assemblies together.
I don't want to put that thing together. I suck at that, man.
I saw you coming down the road. I'll bet you Dallas walking down the road pushing the grill. It was great. All right, Dallas, let's take a quick pause for the calls and get big ups to True Car. Hey, man, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with the terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Hell, it's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features ain't available in all states. You're also going to need car insurance for that new vehicle. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance at GEICO.com. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Get ready for Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame photographer has hit the podcasting scene. Each Tuesday, starting February 27th, Andy and co-host Jonas Wadler will chat with some of the world's most prestigious athletes of all time. Enjoy stories from life behind the scenes with the most decorated sports photographer in the business. Make sure to subscribe to Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein, beginning Tuesday, February 27th, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the brand new Podcast One app.
All right, before we get to the rest of my conversation with Diamond Dallas Page, here's some words from our sponsor: Backbreaker, Deathlock, Brainbuster, Exploder, Goozle, Tombstone, Skullcracker, Vertebraker, Spear, Gore, Stunner. Whether you're a construction worker, a warehouse worker, or even a pro wrestler, if you hear certain words on a job site, it can make work painful and uncomfortable, usually for your opponent. So at least get work gear that's comfortable. Timberland Pro work shirts, pants, and boots. Head to toe. Timberland Pro. Not uncomfortable.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
I want to ask you about the class of 2018 Hall of Fame inductees going into the WWE Hall of Fame coming to WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Goldberg.
I love it.
Goldberg is announced as the first 2018 WWE Hall of Fame inductee. Callie, you're a pain in the ass and you're ruining my podcast. Bill Goldberg going to the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts?
Think about what he did in the business when we were alive and kicking. I mean, he was the man for us.
Oh, dude, he was white hot.
Yeah, he was super, super, super hot. And, you know, for him to come back and actually get that run at the end at 50. And I thought, you know, the way they built that, and you got to really give props huge to Lesnar, you know, because, you know, just being the badass that, hey, he is, he did the business all the way through. And I thought the match that they delivered at Mania last year, I thought there's the best 5 or 6 minute match I might ever seen. I thought it was tremendous.
Oh, I love the match. I love the way they shot the match too, because there was like a spear where kind of entered from the out of frame.
Right, right.
And so there was that impact. There was that visual. So no, man. But that notwithstanding, yeah, it was a damn good match. And dude, I was there at WrestleMania 20. I guess it was 20 at Madison Square Garden.
Oh yeah, with Lesnar.
Yeah. Place that is near and dear to my heart. And man, that was a stinkeroo, and I was right in the middle of it. I was thinking, oh shit. And both those guys were leaving the company. So I really was pulling for them to have an outstanding match, and they did. And they delivered. And people didn't want to see a scientific extravaganza with a this and a that and a transition of this. They wanted to see two big badass dudes just brutalize each other. That's what they got.
Yeah, that's what they got. And I mean, I had gone back. I had actually even left the building, and I watched that from, you know, every year there's the WrestleMania party. And that party will go late into the night, and it's something that I love that Vince does that for the boys and the girls, give them a place to go and let their hair down after Mania insanity. But I was there early, and they hit the, on the big screens there, they had the matchup, and I was marking out, man. I loved it. I loved the impact and, you know, getting, you know, I'd gone by Bill a couple times, you know, when I first seen him. And you know, when you're going out there and you're second-guessing yourself. And, you know, Bill, for the first time ever, had heard a couple boos out there when he was doing stuff earlier. That Bill never had that, like, ever. And I just came up to him and I was saying, Bill, you're pumped for tonight? And, you know, and he was, but not really. And I'm like, you're Bill Goldberg, bro. You're going to blow the roof off. This place is going to explode. It's going to be the best match you've ever had, man. This is going to be awesome. And you can see Billy just terminating up. There's traps come up, and he's getting live. And I was really proud of him, man. I was proud. And I was very – I knew after that last thing, I really felt he would have been the headliner this year. I'm glad he was. And he'll give a great speech, I think.
Dudley Boyz are going in.
Love Dudley Boyz.
Dudley Boyz, god dang, I think they've held some tag titles over in Japan. They've held every single tag bout you could hold.
Right.
They've been around for 20 some odd years. They're kind of like an institution. Man, those guys are phenomenal. And I remember when Bubba Ray made his debut, as close to or maybe before I got down there, Superstar Steve Austin, after being released by WCW. So again, he was there before me, but he came out there. He had the glasses taped up.
Right.
Wrote my name. He was doing a stuttering gimmick.
Right.
Bubba
Ray
Dudley. But you could go.
Right, yeah.
And so
right.
It was like you could see the charisma in this dude, and you could see that the gears are spinning just by appearance. I mean, you know, he's a big dude.
Bullies. He was a kid then, too.
Yeah, he was a kid. But and then you know, here comes D-Von, and then all of a sudden – put them together, D-Von get the tables, just the teamwork, all the stuff they did with the Hardys, what they did with Edge and Christian, but just those two guys as a unit, putting together badass matches. I think those guys obviously super deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love what Bubba's done, you know, in the other companies too. And how he started, you know, the whole ECW thing, man. Like, Paul, you know, freaking Paul Lee, man, he's a genius. He does a hell of a job with, you know, taking people and taking them to a different level, letting them see the talent that they might not even know they have. And he just had a great way of putting that whole together, that whole thing together with the Dudley Boyz and Spike Dudley and the Big Dudleys. I mean, it was they had some great matches there in ECW, but coming right over to WWE, I thought their transition was awesome, man. And the end of when they left and they went to TNA for a while, you know, they got over strong there. And then Bubs, you know, he made a rank for himself as a single wrestler and then come right back with the Dudleys full circle. So that's another thing about what the WWE is doing, which is bringing back in the stars that were stars that might have gone somewhere else and did another run somewhere else, coming back like Kurt Angle last year. You know, he was gone for 10 years, but he come back home. And that's what I think it's like for the Dudleys right now coming there. The one thing that I'm pretty excited about, and you tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I heard that that my man Bam Bam is that a fact yet? I don't know that or not. But if that's a fact, you know, I know Bam Bam since he was 16 years old. I used to run a club in Asbury Park called Club Xanadu, and Bammer would come in there. And back then he was in high school and he was wrestling and he already had shaved his head. And on the summer times, he was running by the time he was 17 with a pack called the Breed, and they were a biker gang. And Bam was always super, you know, super cool guy, easy to get along with. And he come walking into a club that was kind of dressy with a couple of the, you know, the Breed with him. And I'd come strolling up behind him, put my arm around him, I go, hey, Bammer, because 18 to drink. You know, he's 17, but no one's going to. He looks like he's 22. You know, I put my arm around him. I go, no trouble in here, right, tonight, Bammer? And he's like, no, no, Paige, I would. No, we ain't cause no trouble here. And I was like, thanks, bro. Keep it clean. And then we come back around, you know, as years going by, you know, maybe he's 18 by this time, 19. And now he's we start talking about wrestling. And I said, you know, I tried it, you know, a few years back. Because at that time, I was about 24. So I tried it when I was 22 and, you know, had like three matches. I was the shits, you know. And I thought that when I hurt my knee and I started, now I'm running clubs, you know, I guess that was my dream. It's not going to happen. But he's telling me how he wants to be in wrestling and he's going to do it. And I was like, man, just follow your dreams. Just go for it. And then I don't know how long ago it was after that. I was flipping the channels and somehow got to WCCW because he was there, right? He was down there in Dallas.
Who?
Bam Bam.
Man, was he?
I don't know where he was.
Goddamn, dude, I can't even remember yesterday.
Well, I'm not sure if he was there.
I don't think he was.
Wherever he was, it was on like VHF TV because I was like turn the channel shit back then. And I said, oh my God, he made it. He's actually wrestling. And it was whatever, you know, small TV that was going on that just happened to get it in Jersey. And then wasn't a year later, maybe two max, boom, he's in WWE with Hulk. He's doing the thing with Hulk and, you know, and
all. So were you saying that you heard he was going in as well?
I heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. It's a rumor. I would love to see it. You know, I don't know if he is or not. But if it isn't this year, at some point, he got to go in.
Yeah, and I'm going to let the people know what happened, man. I had to take leaks. Dallas was filling in for me while I was in there. On the bathroom. So I want to go back to Bully Ray. I enjoyed the shit out of Bully, him and Devon, but I enjoyed Bully's role as a singles performer down there in TNA.
That's what I was saying, man. He went, boy. He looked good.
He totally reinvented himself. He went from, you know, Bubba Ray to Bully Ray.
Right.
And, you know, then with Aces and Eights and all that stuff. And it was cutting some lights out promos. Both the guys can talk, of them.
Big time.
But, you know, they made, you know, Bully pretty much then was number one heel or baby. And he's doing that angle with Brooke Hogan. And Brooke Hogan was tremendous in that, as a matter of fact.
I didn't see that.
It was really good. Because, you know, that was, you know, Bully Ray was her boyfriend at the time. You know, obviously, you know, Hogan was there.
Right.
It was just good stuff. So anyway, had a damn good run, man.
Let me tell you a story about Devon. Me and Hurricane are we're
got a Hurricane story. So Hurricane, this is for you. We text each other all the time.
I love him. So me and him we're driving. I guess we're in Phoenix, and then next night we're out there. What's that place? That's 300 miles. Yukai, whatever the hell is 300 miles. Yuma. So, you know, we get in, boom, we get the caddy, boom, we get to the place, as soon as we get in, wherever we're staying, we got the hotel. Now we're driving to the town, we go do Yuma, we're driving back, I'll never forget it. We're watching, I've got this screen up. Well, yeah, I put the TV up there. I got the screen up there, the computer up there, and we're watching Braveheart. And, you know, there's no one for miles when you're in Yuma and you're going to Phoenix. You cannot see anyone forever. And at some point, while we're watching the thing, Hurricane's driving, and I say, so, bro, I said, how are we doing for gas? He goes, the gas! We had no gas. It's on empty. There's nothing for miles, man. And, I mean, we're like, so what are we going to do? Let's go over the next hump, and we're hoping we're going to see in the city. And we go over another hump, and I'm like, dude, we need to pull over. Who are we going to get to try and save us here? So he gets on the phone and calls Devon, who's behind us. And Devon went and picked us up 2 5-gallon jugs of gas and came sliding around. Man, I thought for sure we were screwed, man. And we were going to roll out and nobody was going to be able to help us because there literally, it was actually about 15 miles to the next gas station when he finally had come up and given us our stuff. So I owed Devon big time for that.
Dude, I always look at the people walking on the side of the road, the gas cans, and like, man, you stupid son of a bitch, did you look at your gas gauge? And it's like the time I was driving out here. I was bringing my white pickup truck from Texas to California because I sold the ranch.
Right.
And sure enough, I thought I could make it from Junction to Kerrville.
That's how it happens.
Yeah. There I was. Dude, when my motor cut off and I was on a downhill little gimmick, so I was going to get all I could out of it.
Right.
Pulling my 6x12 utility trailer. And as I just put it in neutral and I just kind of pull over, you know, to start coming to a damn halt. And I'm thinking, dude, now you're the stupid son of a bitch who didn't check his gas gauge. And when I called that damn, I stopped there on the side of the road, and I could see the Segovia truck stop, which I've passed by a million times. And they were going to charge me $150 to bring me some gas.
Wow.
You know, at that time, you know, I just said, well,
you're still going to pay
it. But... You know, just bring it, because I just thought everybody's going to steal all the shit out of my pickup truck, because that neon clock, the one that you were right. talking about, all my neon clocks were in the back. I had 30 or 40 rifles in the back because I was transporting all my stuff, you know, from Texas to California
right.
because I sold everything.
Right.
And so I'm just thinking, man, automatically, you know, I'm living in L.A. I'm just thinking vultures are going to descend on my truck and steal right. everything out of it while I'm over trying to get a couple gallons of gas to be able to pull up and gas the thing up.
Right.
So anyway, sure enough, here comes the black and white highway patrol. And I start walking towards the highway patrol. I'd been pissing on the side of the road.
Right, right.
Zipped up. And then I start walking towards him. He gave me the hey, that's close enough sign. And I said, anyway, I said, oh, man, see how this is going to go. And he goes, 316, what's happening?
Yeah, man. Thank God the cops, man. Cops yeah. are our buddies, man.
He gave me a ride. I shut down. So they charged me $25 for an empty 5-gallon gas can.
Robbery.
$25. I ain't even put the gas in it yet. So,
robbery. People take advantage of people like that. Pisses me off.
But, dude,
man.
When there is a real shitty feeling. Here's the thing. When you run out of gas, you break down on your own. It's one thing. It sucks.
No, I've been there.
But, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. But it's like when Kristen and I were coming home from the camper, this RV we had back one time, we blew out in Ozona, Texas. God dang, had a blowout. I was in the right lane, just shot off into the median between I-10 east and west. And I was thinking, every time something like this happens, I'm always thinking in slow motion, God damn, this is how I'm going to die with my family right in the middle of I-10 east and west, rolling this camper over. Kristen just got up to get some water. I said, God damn it, hang on. And boy, I crested that thing over. I just maintained my control. I just kind of let my foot off the gas. And I was just going driving in the median, blow out. The rubber had shredded and just eat up my left fender, ruined my bumper. And finally, we came to a stop. A couple of people pulled over to us, and they said, God dang, they were shaking my hand. I had never seen a piece of driving like that. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, man, I just maintained my cool and got lucky.
Right.
You know? But my point is, now we're off. You know, we got two dogs. No, we had three dogs at the time. Me and Kristen were only 5 miles out of town, which is good, but Ozona, just a little bitty town.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, we called a super tow truck to come out there and bring us back. But when you're on a road with your family and something breaks down and you're kind of off, that's when it really sucks. Just right. you and yourself, then, you know, you walk, do whatever. And don't get me wrong, dude. You know, I had a hell of an arsenal there. But you're just so vulnerable out there.
Right,
you
right.
If it's just you and you don't have anybody to worry about, that's one thing. So I just hate breaking down with people. But it's always one of those things like, dude, did you check the gas? And it's like, oh, man, I forgot it. I just assumed it was full.
We've been watching that damn movie, and we both said at the same time, the gas, check the... And we were like, no. It was so stupid. But we got caught in the movie.
Ivory to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2018. Dude, she was on my podcast a couple weeks ago. I had a biggest crush on Tina Ferrari where she was in Glow.
Glow, I was going to say, man.
1985, 1986. And
a lot of people don't know that she was in Glow.
But a lot of people do.
No, but now, big time because of the whole... you know, Glow show, which I think is great. I think that show on Netflix is great.
I haven't watched it. She told me to watch
you
it.
You haven't watched
it?
That?
No, man, I was just, I want to be left with the memories that I had of Glow because it was so cool and campy and
let me interject. Before you watch that on Netflix, watch the documentary Because once you've watched the documentary, now, because they stay really true to, you know, pretty close to it, you know, on the GLOW side. So it's really cool the way that, you know, and see the Ivory not just be there, but then just take it. And she always took her shit, like, serious.
Yeah.
Like, her work in the ring was serious, and she was awesome. Like, she was, to me, a Sherry Martel, a Medusa Michelli. You know, they were ahead of their time, man. They could go.
No, and the thing about, she's one of the women that paved the way for the women's movement that's really going on today.
Which
I don't think she gives herself enough credit for that.
No, well, yeah, hopefully, you know, she'll see that when she gets there, because they'll all be talking to her about it. You know, because those girls, the girls today, like, man, I don't ever miss a women's match now. If the girls are coming out there, I mean, the stuff that they're doing, man, Charlotte and Kelly and Sasha, I mean, these girls are amazing, man. I just did a thing with Bailey, who is another amazing performer in the ring. We actually there's going to be a new DVD coming out with Savage, and it's going to be matches you've never seen. So they put a little committee together, like a little, you know, round table, and it's Corey, who is a hell of an announcer, man. And then you've got Bailey's there, and Sean Mooney. So Sean Mooney's sort of like the 80s deal. I'm kind of like the 90s deal. And then she's like the overall person who really, you know, freaking loved Savage so much, a lot, you know, the elbow off the top. And that was her favorite guy when she was, you know.
She stops by all the time when she's in town to hang out or do the podcast.
Yeah, she's a cool chick.
When are they releasing that? Who's releasing that?
WWE. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be, but they asked me to come on in. That's when I was here last week, because I came in and I did it in Phoenix, and then I just rotated myself through here and back to Atlanta. So I came in here and watched some of the things that another project that I'm working on, hopefully is going to come out this year, that has to do with acting. And once that's going to actually be announced, then we'll definitely talk about it. They want to keep it undertone till it actually happens. Like, it's gonna happen, but, you know, till it happens, you know me, it's positive bullshit.
Jeff Jarrett's going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh man, I was happy about that. And I was, you know, I was pleasantly surprised that happened, you know, because, you know, there was this little thing there went down years ago, and I don't know any of the details, but I know it came with a little bit of heat. And man,
what was the thing that went down?
Oh, I don't know. I just heard there was a little bit of heat on that side of it. I didn't know what it was. But
heat from who?
From the office and him. I thought.
Oh no, I
didn't know anything about it. I didn't. I mean, I heard about it. I was thinking, man, when is he going in? And I was so glad to see him go in, man, because I talk to Jeff all the time. You know, we're not all the time, but we're texting, and he'll be tweeting because he does my program, and he feels good with it. You know, so that guy's got some stories. So I'm really going to be...
Man, when I first broke into the business, 89, 90 Rookie of the Year, hell, you know, I'd been working for 2 months here in the Sportatorium, and that's when Jared had bought the territory from Fritz Von Erich.
Right.
Well, you know, Jeff was, you know, pretty much the lead babyface other than Jerry Lawler.
Sure.
Lawler, you know, yep. Lawler's Lawler. But he was, you know, top babyface. It brought me in. I immediately started feuding with Jeff Jarrett. Now it's green as grass.
You came in feuding with Jarrett?
Well, I mean, not feuding, but I mean, working a lot with Jeff. You know, he was already an accomplished hand at that time. He'd probably been in the business 5, 6, 7 years, but grew up in the business.
Who could go?
So, you know, that second generation kind of absorbs things at a higher level.
Sure, right.
So, I mean, we're having these badass matches back in the day. And
how old are you then?
Shoot, I got in the business late, earlier than you. That would have been when I was 24, 25.
Right, right.
So, and I think Jeff's a little bit younger than me, but he started sooner. So, man, we were having pretty much killer athletic matches and sound psychology, because he was basically calling the matches. He was working white meat babyface. I was a heel. I remember him giving me a statement one day in the locker room after the match. He goes, "Hey, man." He says, "You're working kind of snug out there." Meaning like, "Hey, man, lighten up a little bit." I wasn't smart to it. So I just said, "Yeah, man." I said, "Man, just bring it back if you want to." You know, because that's the way I worked. Right. I didn't know that he was saying, "Hey, man, could you lighten up a little
bit?" Right, right,
right. So anyway, but yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, he has his career, then goes back and starts TNA.
Right.
You know, starting TNA, another major wrestling company where a lot of men and women can still work and have jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he's still a part of that, but he created it some, what, 10, 15 years ago?
And again, that's what I was saying earlier about how I love that the company is bringing in guys who've, you know, made their name there or made it like I did somewhere else, you know, and it's all WWE right now, you know, and they brought him back in. I loved it because I loved working with Jeff. I had some great matches with Jeff, and I had even had a good match when, you know, when we built it up to it when I was going for the world title against him, because I came in there TNA. I was like, you know, I know that we'll work together, but let's build it. Let's milk that to, you know, we can get to where it really means something. And I loved working with him, man. He's great psychology, light on his feet, you know, can do anything. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun.
Then you have Hillbilly Jim.
I love it. I love it.
Hillbilly Jim's nickname for me is, every time he sees me, first thing he'll say to me is, "What's you up to, you lounge lizard?" That's Hillbilly's nickname for me, because I'll always be in the lounge. That's back in my days on the road. I was always in the lounge at the hotel,
right,
having my whiskey, my Crown Royal, and Diet Coke, and that's where I'd be. Every time he'd come through, that's where I was at. So Hillbilly Jim, you talk about a charismatic, talkative son of a gun. And not a classically trained worker, a gimmick
but
guy.
But over, dude.
Oh, no.
He was over.
Super over, larger than life.
Yes, you know, and a big son of a bitch.
Yeah, dude, here's the thing. Had a small waistline, had them barn door wide shoulders. You know, he didn't go, I'm sure he worked out a little bit. Dude, probably clean. And I just
looked into me.
Just total V frame.
Right.
So, but just corn fed.
Right. Yeah, I was super happy to see him go in.
But know? Dude, he's one of those guys. He's got the gift of gab.
Oh,
he always
talk,
cut a promo, and he'll just rope you in. And he's like, I don't know what he's doing right now, but he needs to be selling whatever he's doing. He can sell. He could sell an Eskimo ice cubes.
Right. He comes in. You know, he's a bigger than life character, and you know, I was so, you know, when you see something like that's been so many years in the making. Like, God, when was that? The 80s, you know, right up into maybe 88, 89, man. And for him to finally get that call, it's pretty sweet. And you know what? He's a Hall of Famer. He was a Hall of Famer before he was a Hall of Famer. When he's on the bus, and I love seeing him at the different shows and stuff that he'll show up.
Yeah, but, you know, he's got a charisma about him.
He
I
does.
Don't know what it is, but he got some kind of charisma about him. I remember when they were showing on that, that you know, that montage or that vignette that they make of him when they kind of pull him out of the crowd, and you know, he's out
right
there, and the Hulk's flexing up, and he's trying to flex up. It's like, dude, you know, how can you not like that?
He just, you know, he got a big smile out there, man. And you know, that was the thing. He didn't have to be the greatest worker. He was a great personality out there, and the again, he was over big time. People went crazy.
That's the thing about it, you know, whether you're an over top character, a hellacious worker, a little bit of either one, a combination of both, and a larger degree or whatever. You just have to have some type of quality that people can identify with you.
Right.
He did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, you going down to WrestleMania 34?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You doing WrestleCon?
I'm going to be at WrestleCon. I'll be there Friday and Saturday.
What time's your spot?
You know, I don't have even figured that out yet. Gilbert, who booked me on that this year, I've been doing all my bookings with him. Because do you know Gilbert?
Hmm.
Gilbert's a great guy, man. And, you know, he hooks me up with Comic Cons and all sorts of stuff. And so he works with Stinger, too. And Lita works with Lita, so she's going to be over there. I think Trish is going to be over there at the same section I'm going to be in.
Dude, it seemed like everybody and anybody's going to be there. I know a lot of the WWE people are going to be at Access, but I know a lot of former WWE people and everybody else from different worlds is going to be at the WrestleCon.
Well, you know, anybody who the company brings in, because they'll bring me in, and I'll go over there and do whatever they want me to do. And I love being involved at the, you know, at the Access. You know, just way more money to be made over at the WrestleCon, but I do them both, and I love doing one down there. Like, I was even going to do a DDP Yoga workshop this year, but I decided I ain't doing it. I'm gonna just focus. I want to have a good time this year. Just last year was great. I had such an awesome time, but I was busy every second. And this year, I'm only going to do the WrestleCon
What were you
access.
Doing that made you so busy?
Well, I had like 40 people there who came down. But I still went and did WrestleCon the one day. I did a couple access. I did a bunch of interviews. When people ask me, they say, like, I just said just last night, someone said to me, so, on the set I was on, I was like, so what's your favorite moment, man? I said, Hall of Fame. That was my favorite moment because I got to thank all the guys that, you know, that helped me get there, you know, and it was, as you know, because you were there, it was a hell of a ride and it was a lot of fun and to be able to get there. And what's funny is, you know, you're not supposed to get more than like 10, 15 minutes of talk, you know? So when I wrote it, I had about 22, 23 minutes and Foz, right? He's one of the writers and he comes up to me like, and I was just walking to go to catering or whatever I was walking to, and Foz is walking by. He goes, "Hey, DDP." He goes, "I'm your writer. I'm going to help you write your speech." I said, "Foz, do you think this speech wasn't written 2 months ago? Like, really? You think I waited last minute?" He goes, "Oh, no." He goes, "But if you want, I'd like to. You want to run it by me?" He goes, "So how long is it? Like 10, 15?" I went, 22. 23, and I'm really thinking it might be 25. And he goes, "Oh man, they don't like anybody to be longer than like 10 or 15. I'm like, "Okay, all right." So I go upstairs and I start stripping, and I finally get it down towards around 16, right? And Foz calls me. He goes, "Hey D," he goes, "you know what? I want to come up. I want to hear your original. You want to hear my original?" He goes, "Yeah, I want to hear your original. I want to, because I know you've been working on it." I went up there. He got done with it. He's laughed, you know, got teared up. He went through the whole matter of emotions like I did. And he goes, "Don't do anything." Now, I just spent like 4 hours rewriting the damn thing. And then he called me up and he said, "Talk to Kevin Dunn." He said, "Don't go over 30. He goes, "Do your thing." He goes, "Don't go over 30, though, bro." And because what I did it for was like 26, 27. And it, you know, getting to, I'll tell you the biggest person I really love thing, because I knew, met a lot to her, was Dusty's wife, Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, because I know, like, think about this, bro. You know, 1989, 90, I'm working with Florida Championship Wrestling. And Dusty is, you know, he's taking me under his wing. And, you know, I'm learning so much. And then he leaves at some point and goes back to WWE and he does the polka dot thing. Now, this is Dusty Rhodes, a guy who, and back then, them boys were running on the road where they could have been doing 5 days a week. Saturdays and Sundays, they got double shots. So when is it? And there's no cell phones, and Dusty don't call back anyway. But every once in a while, I would call, you know, just to call the house and try to time it when I thought he might be home. And once in a while, I'd catch him. But other times when I didn't catch him, and I didn't call that much because I call it being pleasantly persistent. And, you know, it's something that I want to be persistent, but I don't want to be a pain in the ass. So when I talk to, I get on the phone, Michelle, and she start talking to me and we'd have a great talk. And, you know, and at the end of it, she'd say like, "Well, don't worry, Dallas, when Dusty gets home, he'll call you." And man, I'll be damned if he didn't not all the time, but 80% of the time, that son of a bitch would pick up the phone, he'd call me and just check in. And we talk about, you know, what I was doing and what he was doing. And it helped us bond more, but it never would have happened without her. And that was the point. So that's why I had to say, because, man, there's no way I would have got those phone calls back without him. You know, as time went by, then I heard that he was leaving the WWE and coming back to WCW. And I just happened to catch the day that he got home and he picked up the phone and I said, "Dusty, you know, I'm getting ready to sell my place on my club. And, you know, I'm going to get married to Kimberly and he wants me to move to Chicago, but, you know, I really want to be in Atlanta. And if there's an opportunity there, I will move there." And he said, well, if you're thinking about the business, then if I was you, I'd move to Atlanta. And that's how I packed up my car. I put my freaking car in the back with and I never disconnected the drive shaft because nobody told me, which blew the whole trans, which I got just enough. You know, I used to go through money like water.
How old were you then?
When I went there, I was 35.
What were you driving at, the pink Caddy?
No, I had the pink Caddy, but that had to come up later. I had a goal. You know, anything I set a goal for, at some point, I'm going to get it. And I love the Mercedes 380, I think it was an S. It might have been L, I don't remember, but it was that convertible. And I just got new tires on. I got it all tuned up. I spent everything ready to, so the car's like pristine. I don't have a lot of money because I went through a lot of money. Didn't really understand saving money yet. And I get up there and I'm pulling my buddy Kim Bojo, who's going to put me up while I'm up there. He's, you know, going to rent me a room. And, you know, I get out of the truck and it's a little bunch of kids all around. And I'm walking around hugging Kim and I'm like, hey, man, let me just take your car off the back. And I go, why is there oil on my car? How did it get oil all over it? I go in, starts right up, go to put it in reverse. Nothing. I left the thing, the drive shaft connected. No one ever told me that. I'm not a mechanic. So next thing I know, I called Dusty up and I said, hey, Dream, you know, I got up here and everything, but my car, I blew the transmission. And he said, well, welcome to the business. Click. Like, figure it out. Click.
How much cost to get the transmission fixed?
Oh, it was like $1,800. It was ridiculous, you know.
What year was that Caddy?
Caddy was a 62.
Where'd you find it?
I found it in Fort Myers, Florida, and it was not in the greatest shape. So I took it and I found, you know, the body guys to do it and cleaned it all up. And at the time, originally, it was white, and I wanted the pink Cadillac convertible. And 62 was a really cool year because I had the fins, but not the big fins like 59. But I had the fins upper and lower on that. And I redid the interior, redid exterior, everything. And that car would drive me around for damn close to 10 years.
You might have sold it?
I had to sell it at some point because it was a divorced wife I never had at that point.
Hey, I was watching WrestleManias the other day, and I watched part of WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3. I watched the Savage Steamboat match again. I watched that match three times back-to-back.
Great.
Three times.
Great
just match. The other day.
Yeah.
And two times I just listened to the commentary and watched the match. And Jesse and Gorilla were on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know who could have called that match any better than how they did and how they set it up. And Jim Ross is my favorite announcer.
No,
of all time.
I agree.
But Gorilla and Jesse for this time or that time, day and age.
Right.
And Jesse was
so
on fire.
Hot. Was so hot.
And old Gorilla. Yeah. And you know, he was always kind of rooting for the heel.
Man, you idiot.
Yeah, always getting mad with the baby face, you know, seemingly cheated or gained an upper hand, questionable tactics. Referee Dave Hebner always slow on account, out of position. Listen to that match. Watch that match back again. And then I watched it with just a zero sound. Which was the WrestleMania that you drove the car in?
Six.
Because, dude, I saw that WrestleMania. Who were you driving in there?
That's
when you had that big bushel hairstyle.
Yeah, right. And I had the diamond glasses on, and I even had the little chauffeur's cap. Let me go back to how that happens.
But dude, at some point, didn't you think, hey man, this is way over the top?
No.
Dallas, it was way over the top.
Of course it was. But at the moment you said, at some point, no, the answer's no. But Jake Roberts, I met him come in my club in Fort Myers, Florida.
Yeah.
So, but friggin' Bushwhackers too. And Luke, who just an amazing dude, he's like, mate, I'm gonna call up Pat. He's looking for one of these kind of cars. I love this little pink Cadillac. He's like, let me get him on the phone. He gets Pat Patterson on the phone. Pat, you gotta see this pink Cadillac. It's beautiful. Oh, it'd be perfect for honky tonk and rhythm and blues and Valentine. So he goes, okay, you think so? Hands me the phone. Hey, Pat, I'm like, yeah, great, yo. I'm freaking, hey, can you look at my tape, yo? I'm thinking to myself. So I figured, be pleasantly persistent. Don't push it. So he said, well, how much is it to get your Cadillac up there? I said, I'll tell you what, Pat, I will let you, if you ship the car there, because it's 62, I don't get to drive it up there. But if you ship it up there and you fly me up and let me drive it, you can have it for free. And he was like, done. And that's how I got that gig, which just, you know, was the beginning of me, again, building some relationships. I mean, I'll never forget Hulk walked up to me when I was there because Hulk watched everything. And he saw me and he had mentioned to me at one point, you know, like when we're talking, well, he talked to me about 5 minutes, but he said, I've seen your stuff. He goes, I like it. Have you ever thought about getting in the ring, blah, blah, blah. And no one knew I was 35 at the time. You know, when I was, it was 31, 32, 33 with Florida and all that, you know, coming up. But the car taken, it was Honky Tonk. It was Jimmy Hart, Greg the Hammer Valentine. But who you don't know was sitting next to me. Who's Peggy Sue?
I don't know.
Sherry Martel.
Really?
Yes. Sherry Martel was Peggy Sue. And what I love about that, like how, you know, shit like that works, I start there, I'm driving the Cadillac. If you go 10 years later, Warriors come into the company, and it's Hogan and Warrior, and me and Goldberg for the world title. That's the 10-year difference right there. That's crazy. When you see the guy who drove the big Cadillac is now main event and co-main event with those guys.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Oh, wait, I want to say something. You said something about that match, Savage, and we talk about that in that new DVD that Savage has that's going to be coming out, you know, Unseen Matches. But we talked about Steamboat and Savage and how amazing. Steamboat and Flair, too, were unbelievable. But that going back to that Savage match, those are the matches I went back to and really studied. If you go into 94, 95, when I was wrestling Mero as Johnny B. Badd, and it was the false finishes that really nobody was doing. And I started doing it on everything. And I can remember me and Mark, you know, opening up Nitro because we weren't on the show. But I got to go out there and work 20 minutes with Mero just about every night. And you know, when you get to one, two, ah, we got him. And man, if you go back and look at my matches with Mark Mero, Johnny B. Badd, they're pretty decent. They're pretty good matches.
Man, I've always loved the match between Savage and Steamboat from WrestleMania 3. But then there's a part of me, you know, through the course of time, you're getting the business, all of a sudden you find out how the match went down. Hey, man, they've kind of been working on that match for a while.
Right.
And so it's like, well, you know, like, well, most of those Flair Steamboats were called for the most part on the fly.
But they wrestled 3,000 times.
You got to let me finish. You got to let me finish.
All right.
So, like, everybody talks about the trilogy. When Flair worked with Steamboat, what, 88 through 90, whatever it was. I mean, everybody knows Flair's my favorite wrestler. Steamboat's probably the best babyface in the history of the business.
Agreed.
I loved working with him, and he taught me so much as I was a Hollywood blind or as a single. Me and Regal, because Regal's hardcore, you know, and back in the day, you took pride in calling everything, you know, on the spot, in the ring. But, dude, like you said, they worked through 3,000 times together. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's a lost art, but it doesn't matter if you call it in the ring, you call it out of the ring. The bottom line is putting on a hell of a show.
That's it.
And God dang, when I watched that match three times back to back to back just the other day, I was like, holy shit. You know, right when I thought I was going to try to take away a little bit from this, you can't. And you listen to Jesse and Gorilla on commentary, and you watch those guys going in the ring. And here's the thing. Here's one of the real big things for me. That match holds up to the athleticism of today's matches.
Yeah. Yep.
And the bonus part of it is you don't see them give the tails that is so prevalent in what's going on today. the lead ends, or you know what someone's going to do just based on how they're positioning their bodies.
Right.
This looked, I mean, there's almost no communication during the match. No one's telegraphing anything.
Right.
They're not, you know, moving too soon or just, you know.
It was magic, bro.
It was magic between two extremely seasoned hands.
Yep.
You don't know what's coming next. The reversals are spot on. They didn't look like they were leading into another thing that was pre-choreographed.
Right, right.
That's what I loved about that match, and I forgot how organic it looked and what an athletic contest it was. And so if you had that match going on in some smoky bar and the jukebox was jamming and there wasn't no sound to it, or you could have a sound going either way, you could watch that match and think, whatever you think about pro wrestling, I still call it pro wrestling, which I love to this day, man, you can't see through that match.
Right, right. And to me, man, it was one of the greatest matches ever. But I love it really started to – the false finish made everything, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And especially where they hustled, you know, and God dang, you know, Macho was on top so much of that match, you know, and trying to put Steamboat away but couldn't. And then finally, you know, because he's dropping the strap.
Right.
And so he's taking, you know, most of the match. And then, you know, finally, you know, referee goes down with that sweet reversal back into Dave Hebner, goes out to get the ring bell. George Animal tries to take it from him. He stomps George Animal in the head and then goes up top turnbuckle. George Animal still's right there to tip him over. And he comes up and he kind of grabs the small of his back, goes to slam Steamboat small package, one, right. Two, three. It was a sweet finishing sequence. But, dude, if you watch that match today, watch it when you get home.
No, we're going to watch it just, again. You get away
it's
from
a match I've always looked up to, but after watching it back to back to back again just the other day, it's like that's one of the ultimate great matches.
Yeah, I think that the color commentating, that's why it annoys the shit out of me when they're talking about something else when two guys are busting their balls. And I know it's not their fault because I know it comes from the back a lot of times, but it drives me crazy when they're not in the moment. That's what I loved about Tony Schiavone. That's what I love about, you know, Jim Ross, you know, Gordon Solie. You know, they were in it. And you can take the voice away in a bar and be pulled in by just the work. That's when you know the shit's really magic, you know.
And you like I said, that match does that. But you know, I forgot. I really did forget. It had been a year or two since I watched it, and I got to give that match its due.
Yeah, I agree. So hey, one of the things I want to tell you about, I'm gonna be over in the UK. I'm gonna be.
Dude, you go to the UK every other trimester. What's up?
Well, it was really good last time I went there, man. I had 100 and...
Dude, I ain't getting mad about it. I'm just saying, what's up? What's up over in the UK?
Well, it's been great. I got a lot of people doing DDP yoga over there, and I'm also doing the Comic-Con. So I'm only doing one workshop this year. I mean, this tour, I'm only doing one workshop, which is going to be in... what's it called? Wrexham. That's going to be in Wrexham. And we're already halfway sold the thing out, so it's going to be pretty cool to go out there, and it'll be sold out by the time we do it. You can go to ddpyogaworkshops.com and check it out if you want to get tickets. And then we're going to be at Wales Comic Con. And I bring my wife with me all the time because she's awesome with the people, and we have a good time. So we're going to come there for like 8 days, but we're going to be you know, only working for three. So five of them will get to see the country, and I love the country there. And the food's been great, which I was really surprised the last time I was there. I mean, the food, because, you know, I eat healthy. So tough for me to find places 4 years ago. Today, when I was there just 4 months ago, some of the best food I had. I mean, and I put that up against anywhere.
Dude, you still enjoy traveling after all these years?
I hate it. But my wife loves it.
I'm glad you said that. I hate it. Like, man, I must be the youngest curmudgeon in the history of the business because, man, I don't go nowhere.
Dude.
Like, New Orleans is a stretch for me.
I know.
It's probably 1,600 miles from here.
But you'll drive there when you were going to Texas.
Oh, yeah. But after 10 years of going back and forth, that's when I finally had to tap out and say, Uncle, yeah, I just hate traveling anymore.
I hate it.
And I have... a big part of my audience is UK audience.
Right.
Right. And so I've been wanting to get over there, but
oh my God, they would go crazy, you know. But it's a tight. But you could do like two or three spots and get the hell out, and they'd come from all over. You just got to pick the like Glasgow is really amazing up in Scotland,
oh, yeah.
And of course London is amazing, and Manchester. And this is the first time I've headed out this way, you know, which is real close to. I'm pretty sure it's real close to Liverpool. Where we're going to be going to do the signing at the Wales Comic Con. So there's certain places I want to see. I went down to down to Bristol last time and spent like 3 days down there. Beautiful place. And there's a buddy of mine named Will set me up with it. It was awesome.
Dude, I was talking to someone. I had an opportunity for me over in, I love it. It was Hungary, the Ukraine, Budapest. They're probably far away from each other. It sounds all the same to me.
Right.
For a movie project. And I said, dude, I said, what's that place? Prague, something like
Prague,
that. Whatever it's Prague. Called. Prague, it's all
my favorite redneck
yeah.
here.
yeah, it's like, dude, I see myself in a lot of places, but I ain't seeing myself over there. So I said, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, I only want to do things stateside, but yeah, the traveling thing is over for me.
Yeah, if I don't have to travel, I'm not. And I know I got a few more years of, you know, still doing some serious travel. I'll still get over to the UK, you know, once every 2 years. The only reason I did it this year so fast, because we had that such an awesome, successful tour there. And I appreciate you letting people know about it, you know, that it was going to be over there and getting the word out. And this is because this guy, Jamie, he hooked me up last year and we couldn't do it. So this Wales Comic Con, I figure it's right after WrestleMania. I'll be home from Mania. So it's right there at the end of the last, I think it's the third week of April. And again, my wife, we drove, like we'll fly into London and we will end up flying out of Manchester.
That's yeah, but who's driving? Far. Y'all getting a rental car and y'all are driving on the side of the road?
Yeah, she can do it. I can't do it.
Oh, dude, man, all them roundabouts and stuff like that.
I get a little scared if I'm driving. I'm like, honey, you just drive. She drove like, we drove 1,658 miles. I drove about 40.
She's like, dude, hey, you know I love you and you're one of my best friends. You're the one of the worst wheelman in the history of the business. You remember that time we was in my Honda CRX and you was navigating and I was listening to you. And you go, bro, and we got lost.
I got lost every time. That's why I love my Google Maps. I'm like so thankful.
Dude,
Google Maps.
Here's the thing. I had to go, Jesus Christ, I went 11 miles across town today. I guess I was in the Beverly Hills area, whatever. Every time I go somewhere, Dallas, it don't matter if I've been there 100 times, I let Siri guide the way. My brain doesn't comprehend all the shit it used to.
And if you miss it, and you know if you miss a turn, if there's traffic, and this is no lie, people, you miss a turn, it could take you 45 minutes out of the way.
Dude, I missed a turn today because for some reason it wasn't on audible. Normally right. You can hear Siri talk to you.
Right.
Or whatever name is, tell you how to give you the directions. All of a sudden, I see my turn coming up off of Robertson. It didn't tell me to flip it. Sure enough, I missed a turn. Dude, I'm driving a suburban-sized vehicle. I flipped that sumbitch around, had to put it in reverse to make the complete turn. I didn't give a flying shit. I said, if there had been a cop right behind me, I was flipping it.
I take those chances all the time. And you know, did I ever tell you about my favorite cop story of all time? South Carolina. Did I ever tell you the time when I'm meet Big Show and Kimberly's in the back with one of the other Nitro girls?
No.
Okay, so South Carolina, we got, you know, 227 miles to the next spot, you know, and everybody's leaving. I didn't get out before the crowd, so they're all coming. I don't know if I was in the main event or whatever, but we're running, and everyone's trying to get out. Well, there's no one trying to get in, so, you know, someone like me would dub that the wrestler lane. So I went all the way up that one way and passing all the cars, get to the light. I waited for it to turn green, took off, went across the street. Guy pulls me over. Steve, I swear to you, he's cussing so loud at me. I haven't put my window down. He's getting out of the car. Who the hell do you? And he just going. And I'm watching him go up, and I got my license and my insurance. As I'm rolling down the window, he takes it up two more notches, and I don't know who you think you are. And he's a state trooper. He's got the beanie hat, you know, the flying saucer thing. Big Show sitting next to me. And at some point, I'm not even going to try to say, well, officer, we're just leaving the building. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to take the ticket when he stops. But he just keeps going. And finally, Big Show can't take it anymore. So he leans across me. Back then, he's like 500 plus pounds. And the cop must have thought he saw a bear or something, because he steps back, right? And Big Show goes, we're really sorry, officer, but when we were at the building, the fans were hitting the truck, and we didn't want anyone to get hurt, so we were just trying to get out of the way. And he looks at him. He looks at me, and he looks at him. And he goes, bang, man. He goes, giant Dallas Diamond Page. I go, or Diamond Dallas Page. He goes, I love you guys. He went from so pissed off, the friggin' love fest. He's been in the back. Now, Kimberly's like, it's about time. You're finally going to get this ticket. You drive like an idiot. And I go, and now, when he hears that, she's like, dude, is he kidding? I'm like, shut up. Like, oh my God. He friggin', Diamond, hey, I'm going to let you go. And you be careful. There's a lot of crazy drivers out there. We drive away. Woo! I said, get your pictures out. Sign them. Everybody sign them. Sign them. As he walks up, I go, oh, we forgot to give you your pictures. He goes, oh, man, that's what I was going to ask for. Thanks so much. Be careful. Thank God for cops who watch wrestling, man. That was...
Dude, every time we go down the road and I'm running radar, whatever, every here and there I'll get pulled over. And most time I'm, you know, whatever, they give me a warning.
Right.
And Kristen's always like, she's almost mad at
yes!
me
for getting off.
I'm like, I'm global icon, man. But don't get me wrong. I certainly have gotten my share of tickets.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I'll eat a ticket because I don't ever say, hey, dude, don't you recognize me?
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah, I'll eat a ticket. Whatever you want to do, I'm cool with.
Right.
It's all you got to do, proper protocol, proper respect, dude. Hands at 10 and 2 so they know where your hands
right.
are. If you got to go on the center console, hey, you mind if I go on the center console?
Mm-hmm.
Hat off, sunglasses off.
Right.
Yeah. Show some respect.
Don't be a pain
in the ass.
Dude,
that's my MO, dude. I don't mess around.
Yeah,
if they're going to let me slide, that's cool. But if they're going to give me a ticket, that's cool too.
Right.
I don't give a shit, but I run radar. Hey, dude, you got anything else you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, the retreat. I want to talk about it. I do this retreat every year. I just had 100 people come to the DDP Yoga Performance Center that were all transformations of one sort or another. Someone might have lost 30 or 40 pounds. Someone like Jared would have lost 310 pounds, or actually 313 pounds. But it wasn't about the weight. It was people who had fibromyalgia, people who were beat up, you know, people who had just a whole different level of life. And we did all these really amazing stories on all the people. And it's sort of like a, you know, a pat on the back, and it's sort of like winning, you know, their Hall of Fame type thing, because we do a whole story on them and everything. And then the thing that that I wanted to say about it, I do a retreat every year. And actually, to this year, I'm doing two different ones. So one I'm doing in July, and it's ddpyogaretreats.com. You can check that out. And the place is gorgeous, a five-star resort in Mexico. And everybody has a hell of a time. And like I said, that's about July 12th, I think. Just go to ddpyogaretreat.com. You can check that out. And I'm also going to be doing Jericho's thing this year in October, which is going to be a lot of fun. And he got a lot of guys in from ROH to come with him. I know Cody's going to be a part of it. I know Mick Foley is going to be on that tour, on the boat. And he's got to have sold a bunch of tickets already, because he's got a full cast and he's going to be doing the actual matches out there. And we're going to be doing DDP yoga workouts. I think we're at 4 days at sea. So I think I'm going to be doing all that. Then, of course, we'll be doing signings. And, you know, the fans will really have a blast there. And I'm going to bring my wife with me. It's going to be a hell of a trip. So that's going to be in October. If you want to check that out, just look up Jericho's Rage at Sea. And I'll tell you what, man. Did you see the match with him and Kenny Omega?
Oh, I dug the match him and Kenny Omega, but I got to tell you about Jericho real quick.
Yeah.
I saw when they first made that announcement for that cruise, and it was right after the, it wasn't Katrina, I think it was the hurricane in Florida.
Oh, right.
It just smoked all of Florida.
Right.
My thoughts are still with those cats trying to make a recovery. So anyway, I'm thinking, man, what is Jericho thinking? They just had a hurricane out there, and all of a sudden he's going to have a cruise. So I texted him. I said, dude, what are you doing? He goes, it's not till next year. I said, oh, okay. Anyway, just the other day I called Chris, and we were talking, and, you know, he's Chris is like one of the hardest working guys I know.
Dude, he never stops.
No, he never stops. He was they were making a swing through Texas. He was just rolling to Lubbock. They were heading to El Paso. Had another stop in Texas. They're doing about like four stops in Texas with Fozzie. So anyway, his voice is kind of frazzled. And right. I just talked to him about 10 minutes just to catch up with him.
Right.
But are you going to wrestle on the cruise, or are you just going to hang out?
No. I'm going to be doing my DDP yoga.
Yeah.
We got like, and there's so
many. The cruise sounds really cool.
No, it sounds like a hell of a time. And he just said Omega is going to be coming on too. And I've never met Kenny, but I look forward to meeting him because hell of a hand. When I saw that match that those guys had, like Jericho is the disabled veteran Arthur Borman and Chris Jericho are the greatest examples of what's possible with my program, because he's still going at 47, and he wrestled 37 minutes. And I got to tell you this last story before we get the hell out of here. So I call people, and, you know, I just pick up the phone, people who got the program, and I call them. So the other, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm calling this person, and he goes, hold on. And he puts on a woman, and she's got a French accent. And I said, did you get that? I said, I just want to say thanks for getting the program. I said, how did you hear about DDP Yoga? And she said, well, I saw that video you did on Jericho, which was Jericho and Kenny Omega's. Like, one, Dylan did a hell of a, he did a hell of an edit of their match that just was, you know, showed all the really great, really physical stuff, you know? And at the end, Jericho goes, DDP Yoga works at the end of it, right? And so I go, so are you a wrestling fan? She goes, well, kind of. She goes, my nephew is Kevin Owens. I go, your nephew's KO? She's like, yes. I go, I got to tell him that. I'm going to tweet him because we stay in contact on DM. And so I sent it to him, and I said, dude, I just got off the phone with your aunt. She got the program. And I was talking to him about the app, you know? And I was like, dude, you need to get on the app. He goes, you know, I bought the program in 2013, but on that last move, I lost it. He said, I can use the app. My back's bothering me. I go, perfect. So, but it was just so funny that his aunt, you know, I called of all the people.
Okay, I got something for you. A few weeks ago, you sent me a bunch of information of how to log on to the DDPY app. So now that you're here and in living color, before I shut off the microphones or before you leave the premises, you got to download this friggin' app for me so I can try DDP Yoga.
You're going to really do it.
I'm going to really do it.
Really do
it. I'm going to give it a shot.
You got it?
Do you have, like, dude, I just want to do it for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, I got 20-minute workouts. I got easy 20-minute workouts just help you with your flexibility and just stretching yourself out and making yourself feel better.
Dude, I can barely reach around to scratch my ass. That's how unflexible I am.
I can change that.
Okay, so I'm going to give it a shot.
All right.
But, and you remember this conversation because we're like, and I had a bunch of shit going on.
I hate you.
And I said, okay.
This is not planned, by the way. He just pulled this out of his ass here.
Just a straight up shoot. It's just a shoot.
Yeah.
So, no, I want you to download the app for me.
I will.
You give me some passwords or whatever, but I don't know how to do all that shit. So when we sign off, sign me up for the goddamn app so I can try the DDP Yoga. I'm going to give it a heartfelt effort.
And you know what? Anyone who's listening right now can do the same thing for 7 days free. You could try it for a week, and it costs you nothing. And if really the best spot to do it is to go to ddpyoga.com and 7-day free trial. So yours I'm flipping on for life because I'm going to get you on and off it no matter what. And I know that your body is going to feel better, and we'll talk about it then.
Dude, you've been talking about breaking up scar tissue and all this other stuff. I just want some flexibility. If I can break up scar tissue in the process, great.
That's huge, but that's how you're going to get the flexibility.
Okay, we're going to sign out. And that wasn't a plug. We've been talking about this for a while, so since you're here, I want you to download the goddamn app for me. All right, signing off. Diamond Dallas Page, creator of DDP Yoga. Sitting here at the crib at 317 Gimmick Street on an acting job. Callie, my black lab, has interrupted this podcast continuously. Appreciate Dallas's patience. I've had to go to the bathroom repeatedly. Dallas just kept talking while I was in there pissing. That's straight up shoot. So when you hear me didn't jump in, when you hear that I don't jump in after a couple of times, I got a damn dog. Got a damn set of choppers on her.
That doesn't go hard, though.
The biggest part of that damn dog is her mouth. She's got a mouth like a Mako shark. I think she has double the amount of teeth a Labrador's supposed to have. Callie, get your ass out of here. See, oh her, God. She the...
We're gonna look it up.
Oh, now you want to make it all up. See, her, she the wonder dog. Now, she was my buddy. Now, this is my new buddy, but she's still young. This is unprofessional. We're stopping the podcast now. Diamond Dallas Page, here in Los Angeles, California. My streets.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia, host of Chasing Glory, here on Podcast One. Every week, I'm talking to the biggest athletes and entertainers about their journey to success.
Did you hear this week's episode?
Stephanie McMahon is on Chasing Glory.
Thanks for having me, Lillian. That was quite an introduction.
The highs.
Let me just say that announcing the first ever Women's Royal Rumble was one of my most memorable moments.
And the lows.
I've almost been fired numerous times. It hasn't always been pretty.
This week, I keep it real, raw, and inspiring with WWE's Stephanie McMahon. Everything you want to know and didn't know.
What do you feel like having three daughters for Triple H has meant to him?
Make sure to subscribe and download new episodes every Monday of Chasing Glory with me, Lillian Garcia. You can get it exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, or on the all-new Podcast One app.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off into the sunset and run some errands. I want to thank DDP for coming by the crib today and catching back up with me. It's always good to see your face. If I get down there to the ATL, I'll stop by the crib. Hey, man, I'm going to give you guys something to watch. Reading that a little bit of that Brian Pillman book and skimming through it, I came across the very famous promo, ECW Cyber Slam 1996, Brian Pillman's Return on YouTube. Holy shit. You talk about lighting a crowd up, owning them, and putting them in their place. Man, what a damn monster, crazy, maniacal, masterful promo, which is unbelievable. ECW Cyber Slam 1996, Brian Pillman's Return. It's on YouTube. Hey, man, check that out. And, you know, it's weird because I remember all these years ago when that happened. But, you know, back in the day, we had VCRs. We were always on the road. 1996, I started to gather a little bit of momentum. You know, I didn't get a chance to see hardly any of Brian's stuff down there. So to go back, and I quite honestly forgot half the shit I did or saw anyway. So seeing this was like a breath of fresh air to me and highly, highly entertaining. And I tell you what, you know, it's not one of those things where you say, well, you can't do that now. That's not the point. He did it then, you know, at the right place at the right time, and he was the right guy. And, well, he was the only guy that could have cut a promo like that. There was so much piss and venom, just emotion in that promo, and it just, it was crazy. It was an unbelievable performance by everybody. And, man, he had that crowd. I don't think I knew whether to shit or wine or watch. But check out that promo and tell me what you thought about it. I'm going to be doing some more on my thoughts of that coming up here pretty quick. I'm still taking my time to digest that and put my thoughts into it. But anyway, what a friggin' promo by Brian Pillman. You talk about having some balls to do that, and that was a place to do it. You weren't going to do it in the WWF. You weren't going to do it in WCW. He picked his spot. He used his brain. Brian was a smart, smart son of a bitch, and everybody knew it. But anyway, check that out and get back to me. And if you go to YouTube, tell them Steve sent you. Hey, man, I got a couple of badass things for you. If you're looking to get either a cold steel broken skull knife or the new cold steel working man's knife, you can get them at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. And I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. I'd say I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free, and you can find all my sponsors at Podcast One. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Hey, man, speaking of Podcast One, the new Podcast One app is now available for download at the App Store or Google Play. There ain't another podcast app like this one anywhere, and that's because the new Podcast One app is loaded with some cool-ass features that let you do a lot more than just listen to your favorite shows. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, articles, and connect with other fans of the shows you like. Watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos. You can actually watch some of your favorite shows in virtual reality. It's like you're sitting right in the room with them. So get to the App Store or Google Play and download the new Podcast One app now. Folks, if you want to follow me on social media, I am on Twitter and Instagram at Steve Austin BSR. Folks, until next time, I got Dr. D. David Schultz coming up in the near future. I got Lane Johnson coming up here in the near future. I got a bunch of stuff coming up here in the future. Everything is in the future. My future is in the future. And right now, I'll see you later. Hey, until next time, folks, my name is Steve Austin, and I'll catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.